15 years of my practice. I would suggest that the person dealing with this drug, at the very least, have an MD education, and better yet, have a full residency in ophthalmology and even more education as a new drug comes out. I don't want to take up your time with other drugs, but for each of the 100 or 200 or 300 or more drugs that we use for eye care, each has their own set of complications. The next point, and I don't even know if I need to mention the next point, but most of you know that the eye is intimately connected to the disease of the rest of the body, and that what's to the eye is not only diagnostic for eye diseases such as high blood pressure and diabetes and leukemia, heart disease, skin disease, and brain tumors. I would like to emphasize that I've had a wonderful working relationship with many optometrists, and I have a great respect for their profession, for their education, and for what they are able to do. I think it is ludicrous to expect everybody to obtain a 13-year level of education, and I think people should be able to choose to assume the educational level that they wish, that they have the time to, the effort, and the proclivities to undertake. But I have a great deal of problems when people have chosen to take a limited level of education, attempt to legislate themselves into levels of patient care which require higher education. There are a number of other points that I could make, but I think the real bottom line of this is, does the state legislature continue to feel that the amount of education required to diagnose and to treat sick patients is an MD degree, an internship with adequate proof of education, testing, and licensure? And further, if you don't have this education, you need the direct supervision of a person with that education. Now, if you feel we should maintain this attitude, then you should vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Dr. Dembski, did you want to close?
I would like to add to my testimony.
Well, just take a few minutes to do that at the microphone, would you please?
All right.
We have a witness, and we are taking the microphone, and
you will state his name to the record. My name is John Dembski. I'm an optometrist. Sorry.
I might say it's a little bit irregular to give second shots, as you can understand, because this could go on in infinitely. I'd like you, but since you were the lead-off and you're a proponent, I would like to have you just confining yourself to what you heard today that you feel needs rebuttal or by which, from your perspective, we might be misled, give you an opportunity to address those kinds of points, okay?
I appreciate that. I am a member of the Board of Optometry. This past several months, I have received a communication from Mr. Traeger, who has testified. Mr. Traeger requested our board's input into this bill. Our only recommendation was that the bill be changed to include endorsement by examination. I may have fallen asleep, but I don't think Mr. Traeger mentioned that. I think it's very important that we would not endorse anyone to use drugs solely because they could afford. We, the board, would like to examine them to make sure they have a thorough knowledge before they use the drugs. I would also like to respond to Dr. Harrison's testimony. It's unfortunate that he's not there to give his response, but he mentioned that only 0.1% of all eye pathology is detected through a dilated pupil. Dr. Harrison's specialty is the retina of the eye, and I would assume that he does all of his examinations of the retina with a dilated pupil. I have referred many patients to Dr. Harrison directly and indirectly, and we have reviewed our records, and he has treated 20 retinal detachments that we have diagnosed with a dilated pupil. I would challenge both Dr. Patterson and Dr. Harrison to find some of those retinal detachments that Dr. Harrison treated without viewing them through a dilated pupil. Because I know that it's not possible to see them with an undilated pupil. And there is, it may only be 0.1% of the population, but are those people denied quality care just because they're in that 0.1%? That is all I have to say. Thank you.
Senator Fisher.
Mr. Chairman, are you familiar with the legislation that was in the Senate last year?
Yes, I am.
That went through quite a bit of effort and negotiation. I gather you're back to ground zero, sort of with the definition of the kinds of drugs that can be used and so on. Were you not satisfied with the Senate version last year that came out of the Hess Committee then?
Yes?
My question, Doctor, is were you not satisfied with the essentially compromised version that came out of the Senate Hess Committee last year with respect to use of drugs as one feature anyway, diagnostic drugs?
I did not see the compromise that came out of the Hess Committee, and it was my understanding that the bill died at the end of the session.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else on this matter? Okay, the chair hears none and sees none, and thank those who have testified. Before we adjourn, gentlemen, I'd like to see if we can take up the education bill. Senate, in your folder, you should have a draft Senate committee substitute for House Bill 251. This committee substitute is similar to the language suggested in his testimony by Senator Ferguson. The number of instructional units with an exception, I think, relating to junior high schools. For the purpose of calculating basic state aid for FY84 is equal to the revised number of instructional units within each district for FY83, as I said, subject to the junior high school exception, which is in Section 2 of the bill. That was one area where we heard testimony of some manipulation, conscious manipulation possibly, of the existing foundation system. In Section 3, there is provision for the Commissioner of Education to propose revisions in the Public School Foundation program no later than January 9, 1984. I'm advised that legislators will be involved in consult with the Department of Education. Is that right? Okay. There was a provision in the House bill for a commission or a study commission which would do this in a much more, I suppose, elaborate way. Now, if the Commissioner of Education has not made recommendations by January 9, 1984, the basic state aid for FY85 would be adjusted by the Consumer Price Index for the preceding 12-month period. We found that the House bill, as I remember, and it's been a week or two, by departing from the foundation program would be prejudicial to the fast-growing school districts that open new school sites. We also found, even in the corrected table that we had, that there was some tilting of the amounts within the allocations to school districts. Then there is a provision for increasing the amount of aid paid to a school district for FY84 over 83 to reflect increases in enrollment or the opening of new school sites. If the amount appropriated for the Public School Foundation program for FY84 is insufficient to meet the operating costs associated with the opening of new school sites, The available funds can be distributed or shall be distributed on a pro rata basis among school districts with new school sites. That is completely missing in the House bill. I would like to get, we also had a fiscal note prepared.
Is that fiscal note, the one that says $448 million for FY4?
Yeah. That is going to be undoubtedly more than the finance committees will want to fund. Most of our testimony, of course, from educators favored that figure. And it was my feeling that we could at least reflect that degree of support, recognizing, however, that it's neither the governor nor the House, let alone the Senate, would probably support $448 million.
Well, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
I'm concerned at this point, as a member of this committee, more with the substance of the bill than the price tag. I think they'll have to be negotiated. I mean, the price tag will have to be negotiated out.
I think
we have to move this bill to make sure we get it enacted this session.
Yeah. That's my feeling. So I would like to report the bill out. I think that there is broader support for this.
Individual recommendation?
Sure. I think there's broader support for this approach than Ms. Tischer's support. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we pass out Senate bill. Yeah, that's a House bill.
Senate
committee substitute for committee substitute for House bill number 251 with individual recommendations.
Okay. Objection? How many do passes on the bill? Are you a no rec or?
Just a no rec. So we can get the bill out of here.
Okay.
I won't hold it up any longer. I make some facetious remarks on the floor.
We'd be glad to hear you now.
Especially if you promise not to make them on the floor.
If we can get to 448, well, I'll be happy with that.
Well, would there be objection to my sending a letter of intent so that the Finance Committee is aware?
Sure.
Okay. Hi, John.
Are you going to be ready by Friday?
Yeah.
For sure? Because education is behind after you, and they're ready by Friday, too, if you want to pay off.
Well, where we met with transportation today.
Right.
They're supposed to meet with us again at noon tomorrow. If they don't screw us around, we'll be ready Friday. Yeah.
Okay, let me know that.
Okay.
Because we can't trade on ground. You can be ready Monday.
If they're ready, let them go ahead and I'll go Monday. That would be, I'm sure of that, because I'm depending on somebody else when I say that. Okay.
All right.
They'll put us Tuesday down.
Yeah.
We're scheduled.
Right.
Okay, without any objection, we'll adjourn.
Okay.